You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. Each week, I'll be joined by a guest. We'll impart our own sex wisdom, ask our own sex questions, and we'll go over all the things they don't teach you in school. To bring this all together, though, we'll need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
In this episode, we speak to writer and presenter Jackie Adedeji.
Usually when people meet me, the next thing would be like, oh my God, hi, you've got massive boobs.
We talk about why the conversation around breasts needs changing.
Boobs are always laughed at, do you know what I mean? In terms of like when we think about nip slips, carry on and like, ooh, what a lovely pair. Like just in British culture, we just laugh at boobs.
And what Jackie's dad thinks of her line of work.
He's always like, why do you have to talk about tits? And I'm like, Dad, that is not my ministry. Boobs is my ministry, okay?
Hello and welcome to The Real Sex Education, Series 4. I'm Diggory Waite and I'm joined, as always, by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, we're back.
Cool, it's been a long time. I've forgotten what we do. What do we do?
It wouldn't be anything to do with sex because we're a mum and son. That'd be weird.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, no. But whatever we're doing, there's going to be a hell of a lot more of it. There's going to be more of it than ever this series. So that's how we're going to make up for how long we've been away.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Because this series, we're splitting things up a bit. We're going to be interviewing a guest 1 week, answering your submitted sex questions the next, and having some more bonus chats and interviews in between. So all going well, you'll be hearing us for the next 20 weeks.
For 20 weeks?
I know. Crazy.
Yeah. How long's that?
I actually don't know. It's pretty much half a year, isn't it? It's 52 weeks in a year. So it's basically the best part
half
of
a year.
Half a year. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. So we're going to be around for quite some time. So make sure you get your questions in podcasts@hatchick.com or following us on Instagram and Twitter @RealSexEdPod and send us a DM there. We will always keep your anonymity if you want us to. Otherwise,
we won't. Yeah.
We won't.
And subscribe.
Yeah, make sure wherever you listen to this right now, make sure you're following us so you're kept abreast of every episode that comes out, bonus or otherwise. Mm-hmm. Speaking of keeping people abreast, today is a very special episode. As usually, we talk about a specific aspect of sex or relationships, but today we'll be talking about a specific body part. We're going to talk about boobs.
Are we?
Yes. Are you excited?
I'm very excited, yeah.
Well, to get us in the boob mood, Mum, although I'm sure a lot of people won't need helping into the boob mood. I'm sure they're already in it. And as a little treat for the start of our new series, we're going to do a little boob quiz. I'll read out 5 statements and you tell me if they're true or false, okay?
Oh, God. Why do you think I'd know?
Well, I don't know. We're about to find out. We'll all learn together. Okay. Well, don't worry. This isn't a test.
Oh, I'm scared.
But maybe it is. Okay, statement 1. Are you ready? Oh, no, look at you.
I'm frightened.
Yeah, well, don't be scared. Don't worry. It's not, you know, if you get these wrong, it just means that you're a bad sex therapist. It's not
all
like,
right.
You know. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
No.
Statement 1. Gaining weight can make your boobs bigger. True or false?
I would have thought so.
So you're saying true?
Yes.
That is true. But your boobs can change size for all sorts of different reasons. Isn't that right?
Well, you know, hormones and things like that. I mean, they're different sizes at different times in the cycle for a start.
There you go.
Can be really painful, like rocks as well, just before a period or when you're in early pregnancy or when you're breastfeeding, actually, when they fill up, they get bigger and they get very, very hard and sore.
There you go. So it's not just gaining weight that can make your boobs bigger. It's all sorts of factors. Even, like you say, like the time of month, just hormones, things like that. Mm. All right, here we go. Step number two. If you're breastfeeding full time, you burn on average 200 calories a day. True or false?
I just thought it was more than that, actually.
That is fascinating. So you're going to say false?
Well, at least 200 calories a day, I would say.
Mum, you're absolutely right. It is false. It's 300 calories a day.
Yes!
And that's according to the NHS. I thought that'd be the one that caught you out. How the hell do you know that?
Well, because I've done it.
Yeah, but did you think to yourself, oh, blimey, this feels about definitely more than 200 calories I'm expelling here?
Well, it's apparently sort of equivalent of a Mars bar or something. But if you and I haven't checked the calories in a Mars bar, which I actually think were probably more than 300, but, you know, who knows?
Really?
But I don't know. I don't know. I try and
avoid
chocolate.
Other chocolate bars are available.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
That's not bloody true. You don't try and avoid chocolate.
When's the last time you saw me eat chocolate?
Right. What, when I think of a Mars bar and you, what do I think of?
A Mars bar cut in half.
Yeah. Every time I go to the little sweet drawer or cupboard in our house, I'd open it up and there'd be a Mars bar cut with a knife in half.
Yeah, and every time I clean out the cupboard, there's like dozens of little Mars bars.
There's dozens of them. So she wouldn't just take then the second half of the one she'd already cut in half. She would then get a new Mars bar out and cut that in half.
That's because I'd lost it because people had riffled around. But the thing was, when is the last time you saw half a Mars bar? When is the last time you saw me eat chocolate?
So maybe you're over chocolate. Are you more of a shortbread fan now?
Shortbread Christmas trees.
That's true, which we're still having now, and we're well into 2022.
Because I bought up the entire shop full of them because I like them. Yeah.
Can I just say, I think there's certain people I know who are breastfeeding, and if they were expending 300 calories a day, they're going to waste away.
Mm. Well, absolutely, and people do, but they eat more. I mean, you know, and they eat more chocolate.
Yeah, to accommodate. Yeah. More chocolate. Send them a Mars bar.
But it is true. You can lose your baby weight very quickly if you are breastfeeding. Because it does use up so many calories. But you said when you're breastfeeding full time, and I was just thinking, oh, that is grim. The whole idea of just sitting there 24 hours a day, just saying, bring me more chocolate, please.
Yeah.
Bring me more chocolate, please.
And you're just breastfeeding the whole time.
Isn't that what
Mad Max is all about? Haven't they got women who just breastfeed 24/7?
Who's Mad Max?
Nah, Tom Hardy. Doesn't matter. All right. Mm. New statement. Are you ready for this one?
Not really.
One breast is usually bigger than the other.
That's true.
That is true. Well done. Mm. Most women find that one breast is usually bigger than the other. And this is totally normal, apparently, according to this. In fact, research found that usually it's the left breast that's larger, with about 65% of women reporting a smaller right breast. Any idea why the hell that would be?
I don't know. Does it have something to do with other body organs?
No, genuinely, from what I have found, people actually don't know. There's theories, but I just wondered if you had one yourself.
No.
As a practicing medical professional.
Practicing really hard, one day I'll get it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Today is not that day. All right. Are you ready for statement number four?
Mm.
Boobs are just made of fat.
No, they're not.
Quite right. That's false. They're made up of a combination of fat and fibrous tissues, as well as glands and ducts to make breast milk.
Exactly. I mean, how would you make the milk in fat? There's quite a network, aren't there?
Yeah. Well, listen, Mum, we're now at statement number five, and you're currently 4 for 4. So this is very good.
Oh, this is the one I'm going to get wrong.
Here we go. You can orgasm through nipple stimulation.
Yes, you can.
Oh, my God, guys. Give her a round of applause. Unbelievable. Look at that. 5 out of 5.
Ta-da.
How come you can... So, come on. This has blown my mind. What are you talking about? You can orgasm through nipple stimulation.
The breasts are incredibly sensitive. And
well, I knew that, but I was like, can you orgasm?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, not everybody has had that experience, but some people find it really easy and other people are taken by surprise when it happens, or other people, it never happens and they don't actually like having their breasts touched. But the vast majority of people want, I mean, you know, if you were making love to someone, it's breasts first before you start getting interested in other areas. Breasts, perhaps. You know. Diving straight for the genitals, not a good idea.
No, I'm just saying different people have different sexual scripts or, you know, they might have something else that's first in the order. But you are right. I think for most people,
most women like to be warmed up. Most women do not want diving straight for the genitals.
No, that sounds... On the whole, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Your mind...
What?
Dragged up.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's so good. I can always just blame it on you. Wonderful stuff. Well, what did you think of that little game, man? All those five statements. You know all that already, so you're fine. You didn't learn anything new.
It's scary.
Well, hopefully you'll learn something new in this next bit, because we have a wonderful guest to talk to us more about booze. We have the wonderful Jackie Adedeji, columnist and presenter. So, Jackie, thank you so much for joining us.
Diggs, I'm so happy to be here. And I'm really, really honoured to meet you and your mum. Hi, Kate.
Hello, it's so wonderful to have you here. It's great.
Oh, I'm. Thank you for having me. It's a ridiculous honour, so thank you.
No, we've been looking forward to it for ages, haven't we, Diggs?
We have. We can't wait. We've been looking to tie you down for a long time. Wow, that sexual. That's the problem with this show.
Okay.
I know, this is absolutely terrible. We're not talking about kink today. That's just not what we can do, but that's just not what we want to do. Oh, God. All right. Let's move swiftly on. Jackie, for people at home that don't know, tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, so I am a podcaster, presenter, and I'm someone who loves boobs. Usually when people meet me, maybe not so much nowadays, but before, they'd always, the next thing would be like, oh my God, hi, you've got massive boobs. So my whole career at the moment has been me trying to increase more boob positivity in the world. I just featured on a Channel 4 documentary called Boobs, which was a really great feminist film, and not just because I'm in it, but I'm actually naked in it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, my dad is fuming. He is livid. He is. And he's a vicar, so he's just like so angry.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, he's always like, you know, why couldn't you have just been a pastor? Like, why do you have to talk about tits? And I'm like, Dad, that is not my ministry. Boobs is my ministry, okay?
Brilliant.
That's my gift to the world. And then I'm also a lifestyle columnist for the Metro, and I talk about different things from body image to dating to gender to race and so forth, trying to make sure that there's less shame in the world around the way we feel about ourselves.
Absolutely. So I think it's a good point then to take it back, because like you say, because now, so people would come up to you and be like, wow, you have amazing boobs.
Yeah.
So before all of that, if we were to wind it all back, what was little Jackie like at school? Like, pre any of this, what was going on then?
I was always like a really kind of outspoken, confident child, and always like the loudest in the class. I always had like different friends in different classes. But then when I grew boobs, then that's when things changed. As in, I became really insecure. That was when that girl just completely disappeared.
And why do you think that was?
Because I felt like I was a child, but I looked like a woman because I was starting to grow big boobs. By the time I was about, I suppose, 11, when I was 11, I was a 30 double F. So that's pretty big. And I talk about this thing called adultification, where like I then became an adult. I was perceived to be an adult because of my boobs, and obviously my body was changing. And I felt really confused because I felt like, well, boobs are something that like glamour models have, or at least of my size. But I'm not like that, and I just felt really confused. And then obviously you're a young girl and you're going you know, you're walking to and from school and whatever, and you're being catcalled, and you're sort of like, you know, you sort of like the attention, but you're also like, I don't know if that's normal. Like, there was just so much going on. So from then, I then decided to start hiding my body. So when I was maybe 12, 13, I used to wear my dad's oversized hoodies. Like, even in the summer, I would be sweating like I'm in the desert.
Wow.
But it meant that like I would never get attention, and I could just hide because I felt like my body was a problem. And I also, because I come from like a heavily Christian background, my dad being in the church, there was lots of, oh, don't wear that because that's really promiscuous, or don't wear that because so-and-so will think this. So I couldn't even really express myself, you know? So there was lots of kind of policing and pushing down. So then I was just a bit like, I'm just going to hide because it's easier and then no one will disturb me and then I won't also disturb other people, you know, so.
I remember at my school, there was one girl in our class who got boobs before everyone else, and she was kind of picked on and bullied. But it was funny because you could see the people that were bullying her were the kind of like cool girls in the school, but yes. They were quite jealous and they were like, they were, and it was that adultification that you were talking about where like, I think they were annoyed because they were like, well, boobs equals, like you said, like glam models and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they were jealous and they were annoyed. And so they would pick on her and it was this weird thing. Yeah. Was there any of that going on as well, do you reckon?
Yeah, there was probably some jealousy around the fact that I was already, I suppose, because I think when you're a teenager, you just want to be an adult. You know what I mean? You just want to be like grown.
Exactly.
So I think maybe there was elements of that. But for me, it was more, do you know what? It was more like I was the butt of the joke. Do you know what I mean? It was always like, if I'm playing sports or whatever, it's always like, oh, there she goes again, or like, look at her boobs, you know. And I would see people mouth like, look at her boobs. I wasn't bullied, but I think, I mean, maybe, I suppose I was in a way, but I feel for me, I just felt like I was laughed at. And actually, when we look at boobs from like a British lens, boobs are always laughed at, do you know what I mean, in terms of like when we think about nip slips and like, you know, the seaside postcards and Carry On and like, ooh, what a lovely pair, like just in British culture we just laugh at boobs like loads. And I think that for me, I was just the butt of the joke for a really long time. And that was really hard because like you then start playing the role of being the butt of the joke because you just feel like, oh, you just have to be, you have to behave that way because that's what everyone expects of you, you know, because it's just like, oh, it's, and you know, if you can't beat them, join them. Do you know what I mean? It's
that's
just like,
it.
I'll just be the ditzy one sort of thing because that's what you expect of me. So
what was the attitude of the teachers at school? I mean, were they supportive or
not really? So when, you know, when you're in like year five, year six, and you can all get changed for PE with the boys in the classroom because no one's like developed yet. So like you've all got like, you know, fried eggs. Like no one's got boobs yet. So like the girls can just walk around in their vests and whatever. By the time I was about, I suppose 11, my teacher, I remember I was getting changed and my teacher said, I'm really sorry, Jacqueline, but you can't get changed with us anymore because you're growing and you're developed, so you have to go to the changing room now. And I was like, oh, really? She's like, yeah, your body's just growing. That's where you need to go now. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and I felt so alienated because I'm like, it's almost like you can't sit with us anymore. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just so confusing and there was no, because there was no one, you know, in my class or anyone my age that was going through the same thing. I felt really alone. Like it was literally like missing my youth, even though I was young, if that makes sense. Like it was such a weird thing of like, oh, I just want to be a little girl. It's like, oh, wait, but you are a little girl, but then you're not treated like a little girl.
That's a really important point because sex education doesn't really deal with bodies at all. And, you know, when people come for sex therapy, they're often really hung up about their breasts or their genitals. And they don't know what anyone else's look like either because it's just not something that's discussed. And it's
totally,
it's ridiculous. And you can't own it and enjoy it if you don't know what's okay and if you're made to feel
exactly
different.
Yeah. Totally. And I think as well, I suppose you probably know this, Kate, as well, where I feel like, what are the perfect boobs anyway? Like, I think it's like, there was no dialogue around like, you know, embrace the different sizes of your boobs and there's boob diversity. Like that was just not a conversation. And you're looking in, you know, that was the time when Page Three was super popular and like loads of people, there was such a surge in celebrities getting boob jobs and things like that. And I think it's still the most popular cosmetic surgery procedure. So for me, I just felt abnormal because I'd never seen anyone who had naturally big breasts. And when I did see that, it was always on shows like where they were the freaks. Like it was like, you know, you get those like documentaries that are like on late at night and it's like, my boobs are suffocating me and I can't breathe. And like, it's like some program in America where the person's like, I like M&Ms fall down my boobs. And like, you know, like all my food falls down my boobs. And like, now I'm starving. Like it's always stuff like that. And I'm like, I cannot relate to this. Like, this is insane. You know, Americans are so extra with their programming.
Like it's so
always
true.
Like, I'm in a wheelchair now because of my boobs. And it's just like, this is not inspirational for me, huh?
They are problematized, aren't they? Big boobs. I mean, because all I've ever heard is, oh, well, people worry about it. They want them reduced because they're so big, they fall over. They keep toppling over.
And they're in a wheelchair. They can't eat, apparently. You know, all that stuff. Yeah.
But and it's bad for their backs and things like that. And all of this. And not everybody feels that way.
Exactly. And also, I there are a lot of people who are suffering, and there is like a, which I think isn't taken seriously enough. There are lots of women with big breasts, can't afford breast reduction, have been turned away by the NHS for breast reduction, who are having to resort to go on, you know, starting crowdfunders and things like that to get money, to get procedures, and it's affecting their mental health. I am not one of those people. So where my boobs are like annoying or whatever, it's not to the point where I'm like, I can't function.
When do you think then that you started doing, making that sort of change? Because you said when you were younger, maybe there was a bit more of the shame around it, and now there's, well, way less of that. And like you say, how did the change come about?
So I went through a phase of like, obviously hating my chest. And then I went through a phase where I was over-sexualizing myself. So obviously I got to maybe 15, 16, and that's when like everybody wants boobs. And obviously the guys in my year are all growing and they're perhaps watching lots of porn and they're seeing big boobs. So I would have them out all the time. Maybe I was 16 or something. I'd have them out all the time. And like, I would go out with my friends and then I'd meet a guy and then he's like looking at my chest being like, what's your name? And I'm like, my face is up here. Like, I'd just be so like, and I would do it on purpose because I'm like, because I felt like, oh, okay, I can finally get attention. Like finally I'm going to be noticed, you know? So I was using my, I was letting my boobs define me actually for a significant period. And then I went to uni and was working in TV. And then I started a podcast called Jackie Big Tits, which lots of people had said to me, like, you're going to ruin your career. Like, you know, and I was like, but this is, that's the whole point, because I wanted to start stating the obvious, right? And I love making people feel really uncomfortable. Like, I remember someone saying to me, like, I heard you got a podcast. What's it called? And I was like, Jackie, this is the moment. You've just got to tell everybody.
Yeah.
And they all just burst out laughing. And I was like, because it's so obvious I have big boobs, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, me calling my podcast Jackie Big Tits was me taking my power back. Because you're just stating the obvious.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm
it.
Stating the obvious. They're not really. I am. So it's like, you can't laugh at me because I'm the one that created the joke. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how I did it. And then now it's like, literally no one says to me really these days, your boobs are so big, because it's like, duh. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, whereas I think before, because I was hiding, if someone said it to me, I'd then feel a bit like really conscious of like, oh my God, like, but now it's like, this is literally what I do. So you're just telling me like, that's my career. So do you know what I mean? But that's how I empowered myself. And through there, I then started feeling more open to discuss other things. But that it was about taking, reclaiming my power. That's what it was. So it's like, you know, these are my boobs and they're part of me. They're not the best thing about me, but I get to define it, everything on my term. And I think that for me, that was really important. And it also meant that it enabled me to find other women who I had never met before, who knew my experience, who I know so many women with big tits now. It's a joke. Where have you honeys been? I was suffering. Where were you? We've all had such like parallel experiences, and it's like, I found my tribe. But if I didn't speak out, I would have never found them perhaps.
And you talk about that community. I mean, the other day I read you were featured in a blog by the Fuller Bus Wardrobe. And it was great. It was all these women talking about what their big boobs meant to them, and it was all really positive. And there's two things that you said which really were amazing. So you said that they give strength back to you, and they represent the shame that you felt, whatever people's perceptions are about boobs. Talk about the strength. Is that what you're talking about here, like just reclaiming it?
I think like when I look at sort of the journey of myself, my boobs are a massive part of it. They're just a testament to like how much I have developed as a person, because my insecurity started with my boobs, but I've ended on but where I am now is like completely different. I'm like a whole different person. So my boobs, you know, our boobs are with us till the very end. And, you know, and they're going to take me through motherhood, and they're going to take me through other things, you know, so many. So for me at this stage in my life, in my 20s, I look at my boobs and think they remind me and they represent how much I've developed, how much I've grown, and also how I've been able to liberate myself on my own terms, as opposed to someone, you know, telling me how I should feel.
It's such a good point that you make about your body being a testament to your experience, because you know, so many people come and say, oh, my breasts have changed so much since I was pregnant, or or breastfeeding or whatever, or my tummy's too fat since I had the baby, and that sort of thing. And it's just, my goodness, your body did this amazing thing.
Yes.
Why do you want to cover that up? Why do you want to pretend it didn't? I mean, if you've been keeping your child alive all this time with your body, that's incredible. That's amazing. Embrace.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the way we should look at it. But we're all, oh, no, you've got to be like this. And then...
Yes. Kate, I wonder, hopefully you don't think this is too personal, but when it comes to breastfeeding, like, did you feel shamed, like, when you were breastfeeding, or did you feel sort of a bit of like, ooh, funny about bringing your boobs out? Because I read so much about when women are breastfeeding and they feel not just shamed by men, but by women.
Well, definitely, it's much, women are much worse when it comes to that sort of thing. But I think me and my friends, we were all determined to just do it. So there was never a question. I mean, if anyone had told me to get up and go to the loo to feed my baby, it would have just...
you would have flipped out.
I would have lost it. But the only thing was, there was one time, I was doing it so often, there was one time where I went into town, I went shopping, and I walked in and I went to the bank, and the woman in the bank made this big sort of tut, and there was this, I don't know. So anyway, I got back and picked up the baby. It wasn't Diggory, it was a different one.
Another one.
And I picked up the baby to go and feed it, and I suddenly realised I didn't need to get my boobs out. I hadn't put them away after.
Oh, right. And that's where the tutting was coming from. Okay.
So I just walked into the town and gone to the shops, gone to the bank, walked back again.
Oh my God.
Exposed.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
So my boobs are pretty famous around Brentford.
Oh, I love that for you, Kate. Get them out any day of the week.
Free the nip. I'm serious.
Free the nip.
That was a...
Free the actual nip. Like, we've all got Jaffa Cake nipples. Let's just get them out.
But it's really interesting you mentioned motherhood, because it's something I wanted to focus on as well, because listening to your podcast Boob Share, it's so good on that. No, the podcast is great because, like, it's just, you know, people talking about their boobs, and there's so much to be said for it, and a lot of that conversation is about motherhood and breastfeeding and stuff, and there's so much stuff that I'd learned that I never knew before,
right? About, same,
like, about just boobs in general, but particularly like things like breastfeeding, like milk comes out of several holes,
right?
In the same nipple. I just thought, surely it's just one hole, one nipple, one hole, right?
Right, that's what I thought.
Why would it not be? Why would it not be one hole, one nipple? Come on, let's be real. What? That's mental.
Well, you could say, the babies are really little. Wouldn't you choke them if it was all just coming in bump one big whoosh?
I have no idea. I don't know, even though I should be an expert.
But you know what? Sometimes, I'll tell you one thing that they don't tell you about is that when a baby's sucking, they can actually go quite numb, which is probably why I didn't notice when mine were out instead of in.
Yes.
But sometimes you can get a sort of, they can just suck really hard and then they take their heads away and you don't notice. And there's like a stream still coming out, so you're kind of, there's a fountain that appears and just sprays everything. That nobody tells you about this. You have to look out for it.
Oh my, and you can get breast milk ice cream.
Oh yeah.
Wow, really?
I'm gonna try some.
Yeah, I think it's really tasty actually.
Oh, is breast milk nice?
It's very sweet, very, very, very sweet. Much too sweet, really. Yeah.
But can you put it in like your coffee?
Yeah.
Or is that like too?
Yeah, okay, but you have to have quite a lot to make it go dark. It doesn't sort of whiten it the way cow's milk does. But it's
just... I'll stick with soya.
Yeah.
But you see, if you wanted flavoured milk, then just eat some garlic or something.
Is that true? Does that change it?
Well, it was funny.
Do you want garlicky milk?
People used to pick up my babies and go, oh, what have you been eating? Because I all smelt so much of garlic.
Of garlic?
Because I used to eat tons of garlic and chili and things and just have these poor babies.
No wonder I didn't have any friends when I was a baby. when we went to the play centre and there was all the other babies there, and I was calling around being like, anyone want to hang out? They hated
it.
It smells of garlic. That's the garlic baby.
The garlic baby. Garlic boy. Yeah.
Garlic boy. But
I love this.
This is also, is this true as well? I don't know if this might have happened to you, man, but it's something I heard on your podcast as well, Jackie.
Yeah.
You can lactate from hearing a baby crying.
Mm.
Is that true? Just by hearing another baby crying.
I think it's so amazing. Like, that is amazing. Boobs are insane. Like,
that's the craziest thing in the world. But also, isn't that quite dangerous? Aren't you just being like, oh, I've had to go to bloody change my top again?
Well, no, but you do. They give you, that's why they give you breast pads, because you can, anything can make you lactate. And you know, if after a certain amount of time, if you're, if you've fed your baby and it's been asleep and things, and you've gone out to the shops and someone's minding the baby or something, you've gone, oh, I don't know why I go out to the shops. Go out anywhere. Go and expose your breasts in the bank. Anyway, while you're out, all of a sudden you start to feel that you need to feed. And so that's about the time your baby's waking up, and you can literally walk through the door just at the moment your baby's waking up and be back ready to feed.
Oh my gosh.
That is weird.
That is nature's amazing.
I get really, really like intense, what I call period boobs. Yeah. So like before, a couple of days before my period, like I literally feel like my boobs could like knock houses down. They're so big and so heavy. And I always wonder, like, is that what breast milk, like having your boobs full of milk feels like? Like, you could literally like knock someone out, because it's
when they're really full,
it's so painful
when you need your baby to come in, but it will sort of just come out anyway. It'll just be like a wet dream, I suppose. It will just leak.
I think something we've mentioned already today, that boobs are so sexualized, and what you come away from that podcast with as well is one of the first things that it's just every person says, they're like, boobs are just boobs, like they're just boobs. Yeah, and it's just like, that's it. And so like the sexualization of them is where so much of the issues stem from.
They've just been sexualized in the media, and you would think that their only use was for the male gaze, you know, the way that we and then there are villages in Africa where there are women who have their boobs out all the time, and that's seen as like, you know, empowerment and like a sign of, a strong sign of femininity and nothing else. Whereas here it's like, you're asking for it, you know, all this kind of energy.
What really annoys me is that the boobs are always talked about as for men, as you said, they're there for them to look at and fiddle with and all of that. But nobody talks about the enormous sense of pleasure or the enormous pleasure they can give the women themselves. And we don't talk about it. And I see a lot of women who feel real shame about being turned on by having their breasts touched, because it's meant to be for somebody else. It's not meant to be, the pleasure is not meant to be their own, which is so infuriating. Enjoy, you know.
Yeah, that's such a good point, actually. And I also think that we don't necessarily feel empowered to even say that. No. So even you saying that is like, I'm even like, gosh, that's so true. I'm not even sure I've said that out loud, but it's so true. Like, it almost feels like they are objects for men, and we don't really get to be part of that conversation, even though they're on us, and say, I actually like having my boobs touched, or even to just say, I like having my boobs out because I like having my boobs out because it makes me feel sexy. End of story. Like, without us being criticized for it, I think it's always the worrying of the critique, you know, and actually screw what people think. But I think it's easy for me to say that, though, but it is still hard. I mean, sometimes I get, you know, I have my boobs out, not even that much. And the staring is like, you know, there was a sign on the tube that talked about staring.
Your boobs are
free. Yes, exactly.
Your boobs are free, whereas lipstick or whatever, hair dye or whatever it is, you have to pay for that. So that's okay. Yes. That's okay. Mm. You know, enjoy that, embrace it, love it, makes you feel like a girl. Well, put your boobs out. Oh, no.
It's too much. Yeah. They're free. Asking for it. Yeah. And also, I think with boobs is people feel they have so much access, because they're out there, because I've had it in bathrooms where with women who will be like, oh my God, like, I want your boobs. And then within 2 seconds, their hands are on my boobs. And I'm like,
what? Good Lord.
And they're like, oh my God, like, I want, you know what I mean? And I'm like, this is the thing is, people just feel that they can touch them. And that's not, and that's not just women, that's men as well. Feeling like, you know, you having them out is you sending a message. And it's like, not really. I just have my boobs out. But then for a lot of people, it's like, oh, that means that you want me to look at them, or you want me to touch them, or you only have them out because you want attention. There's always got to be a reason. And it can never be like, I just have my boobs out because I have my boobs out. You know, it's like, and then we look at someone like Holly Willoughby and how much slack she gets every week on Dancing on Ice, and she hasn't even really got her boobs out. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But it's always like, oh, like Ofcom complaint, you know? It's just insane. It's like, it's focus on the damn show.
Yeah.
Like, bore off.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah. There's some cracking dancing going on.
The feet you should be looking at.
Yeah.
Not
like, can you skate on ice, babes? Like,
yeah,
really?
Not me.
Can you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, hello.
Mum, when you said then you should be looking at her feet, I was like, "What? Why are you weirdo?" And then I realised, dancing show. I'm slow today. I don't get it. Like, there should be Ofcom complaints about her feet. They're too nice. They're lovely, and they're always out. She's asking for it.
Do you know what? I love that you and your mum can like talk like this. Like, it is just, it must be just the dream. Like, honestly, I'm just like, this is amazing. I would love to have this relationship with a child one day, because it's so
sure
I do think it all it starts at home, right? Education starts at home.
Yeah,
I think it's amazing that this is what you do, by the way. I just had to say, I was
like,
that's
so kind of you.
That's so
it's
sweet.
Inspiration for me.
I love that.
I'm gonna call my mum today and be like, dildos, and see what she says back.
Yeah. I love it.
And you just immediately hang up. She'll be like, someone prank called me today and just shouted dildos down the phone.
Like, what was a dildo?
Yeah, they had your number. It's really weird. Jackie, we're running over. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on. But before we end it, is there anything else you wanna say or you wanna get out there? Is there anything we've missed today?
No, I mean, I think that this has been one of the most interesting conversations I've ever had.
Really
it has.
I love it.
Really
love
refreshing.
It.
Like, now I'm literally gonna start like Googling like books on sex and like go on like Google Scholar and like try and find some like academic sex reports. Like, I feel like you know, I said I was this morning that like it's all I'm doing nothingness today. Oh no. I'm doing research.
Same
tonight.
Time now. Yeah, exactly.
That's
no,
brilliant.
I just want to say thank you for having me on. And this has been such a refreshing, fun conversation and really inspirational, because as I said, I think just you're a dynamic duo and it's really lovely to see it. So thank you for having me on.
But thank you too. Thank you for giving up part of your quiet day for us.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Thank
course.
You so much.
Anytime.
It's been lovely.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Jackie Adedeji for speaking to us. If you want to keep up to date with her column, her podcast and everything else she's up to, you can check her out on Instagram at Oh My Gosh, It's Jackie. Until then, we'll see you next week for some more real sex education. Bye. You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin. Generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.